This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, February 14, 2021. Quinquagesima Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched it.
May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. There is a lot said about lepers and leprosy in the Scriptures. Old Testament, New Testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ heals several lepers, sometimes several at one time. The first reading today from Leviticus, is the first couple verses from chapter 13 and the last few verses. It is a long chapter of Scripture, and the entire chapter deals with how one deals with leprosy. Now, generally speaking, when we speak of this leprosy, it is, and rightfully so, presented as an analogy about sin, how there were a few lepers, but how each and every one of us separated from God through original and actual sin is even worse shape spiritually. Leprosy, a horrendous, ugly disease. Nothing compared to the ugliness of sin. I don't want to go there today. I want to talk about what Jesus Christ did. This is one who is afflicted by this horrendous disease. Our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated, I don't like this newer translation. It says that moved with pity. Pity is an element of what our Lord Jesus Christ showed, and that's compassion. Our Lord Jesus Christ shows compassion on this man who comes to him and asks him for healing. Compassion is an emotional response to sympathy that we have, to the pity that we take on people, and not only a thought or said pity, but a manifestation of our desire to help people. This is the grace and mercy of which we hear all the time. We hear about it, but we don't see it. Grace and mercy is not something to be discussed or presented as a Catholic philosophy. It is something that is to be demonstrated. In our day, when it's talked about a lot, generally what you hear about is empathy. Empathy is not synonymous with compassion. Empathy is a feeling of awareness towards someone's sufferings and an attempt to understand how they feel, putting yourself in their shoes. Does that do that person any good, that you empathize with their position, or that you have sympathy because they're in the condition in which they find themselves? It doesn't help one bit. You have to do something about it. That is compassion. That is Christian grace and mercy. He had a picture of this guy in her mind that comes up to our Lord. Obviously, this is implicit in what's said, because in the original, it speaks of Jesus doesn't just tell him to go show himself to the priest. He says, go show yourself to the high priest. Because in Leviticus, once you first think you might be afflicted with leprosy, you come and you show it to the priest. That might be leprosy. Out. Get out of the community. Go out and live out in the wilderness, outside the city. That's where you need to go. And then if it got a little bit better, you could come and show yourself to any priest and say, am I okay? Yeah, you're okay. There was some ritual washing and cleansing, and you could come back and live with everybody else. Really basically was, you didn't have leprosy. This guy is in such straits that our Lord said, go show yourself to the high priest and perform a duty that Moses said to prove to the people that you are clean. This guy's in bad shape. St. Jose Maria Escriva actually discussing this particular passage, he said, this man is walking rottenness. He's just living filth. He's disgusting. And our Lord, in his compassion, reaches out and touches him. This, as I said, is Christian compassion. This is the grace and mercy that Jesus shows me. He just doesn't feel sorry for us. Could Jesus not just say words? I mean, he's done it before. Centurion, Rabbi, my servant is sick in my house. Okay, let's go. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Just speak the word. And the guy lives miles away. And our Lord says it, and the servant is healed miles away. He could have just spoken to this leper. He could have just willed that the leper was clean. Spoken to him a little bit and just sent him away, because there were miracles like that too. The other lepers that he cleansed, he says some words over and they go, and on their way, they're healed. They don't heal instantly. They're on their way away from him, one comes back and gives him praise. A Samaritan. Our Lord shows compassion on this man. It's not just a matter of, I will that you be clean. I will that you are healed. I love you. And he shows him he does. He reaches out and he touches this man. These people were not allowed. They were sent out of the city. If a leper was walking around and they saw another person, just an eye shot, they have to start yelling, like Cithery, unclean, unclean. They have to give everybody a heads up that they're sick. And you can't come near me, because it's against the Mosaic law to get near one of these people. If you touch one of them by accident, or one of their things, or clothes, or something that they've touched, you have to do ritual washing, and you can't go into the temple for days. This is how shunned these people were. And our Lord reaches his hand out in compassion and touches him. He shows love to this man. He just doesn't heal him. He shows that he cares about him to be healed. Jesus had compassion. And now Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he, as we know, has ascended into heaven. He's no longer down here on earth to touch whatever the malady may be. How does he do it? It's called his church. There's no accident that the church is referred to as the body of Christ. I'm always saying that we are his hands, his feet, his eyes, his mouth in this world. He's up in heaven made intercession for us, and he has given us commandment to do what he did down here. He actually encapsulates it when he looks at his disciples and says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. These men to whom he said that, and then us subsequently, know that this is one of the ways that he showed his love. He touched something that was repugnant and disgusting to him, because he just didn't talk the talk. He actually walked the walk, to use the cliche. This is what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to talk about grace and mercy, and we do talk endlessly about grace and mercy, but do we show it? I would submit to you not. The loving touch of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where do we see it first and foremost? Eucharist, loving touch of our Lord, the confessional. That's our Lord, literally and figuratively, touching us. Confessional figuratively, Eucharist literally. He touches us. Here's a leper, a disgusting individual. And our Lord Jesus Christ, in compassion, reaches out and touches him. We get a new strain of the flu, and people who are supposed to emulate Jesus Christ and his compassion slam the door on people, deny them the loving touch of the Eucharist for months. That's not compassion. That's cowardice. It's abject fear. Our Lord Jesus Christ, they looked at that. Hey, unclean, okay, I will be clean. Now go back to business and go show the high priest. And now, come here. And he touches him. This is what we're supposed to do. This is the body of Christ. And I'm pointing fingers at priests and bishops. It's horrendous, the lack of compassion that is being demonstrated in our day for something much less than leprosy. February 2nd, St. Blaise, Blessing of the Throats. What is a Blessing of the Throats? Blessing of the Throats, a ritual that the Catholic Church believes keeps people from getting ill. And you go to websites, we're not having Blessing of the Throats this year because of a potential illness. That's ridiculous. That's unbelief. It's unfaithfulness. It's not prudent to do that. Was it prudent for Jesus Christ to touch a leper? It wasn't only from an earthly perspective, not prudent, but it was a violation of Mosaic law. And Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. He demonstrated, I know what the law is about. The law is God's compassion on you, that he doesn't smite you for every violation of it. It is who God is, what he expects from you, and I'm the one who gave it, so I know what it means. I will show compassion on this individual. He wasn't breaking the law. He was fulfilling the law by touching this person. This is compassion. You, as a faithful believer, you do what you need to do. To do what you think in your mind and in your take on this whole thing. You do what you need to do. You want to wear 12 masks and a face shield and gloves and all this kind of, do it. That's what, I got no beef with that. You should not see me do it when you come in. You should not see any priest do it. Oh, the Eucharist, the loving touch of the Father by the guy who looks like he's going to perform surgery. Our churches look like crime scenes or construction sites. That's not our business. Our business is compassion. Our business is the love of souls. And it can't be talked about. It must be proven. That's the bottom line. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ does. There is probably no manifestation better of a man who was the body of Christ and compassionate, and in context, it works perfectly. St. Damian of Molokai. St. Damian of Molokai was a handsome young Belgian priest. And he showed up in Hawaii in 1864 on a missionary journey. And he gets there, they learn of that there's an epidemic of leprosy on Hawaii. And the government has quarantined all the lepers in Molokai. And kind of interesting, why are the churches closed? Well, because the government says, well, the government said in Hawaii that we're going to put all the lepers down there. You know what the church did? Okay, we're going to send priests down there. And St. Damian, he looks and he said, he plays explicitly the Isaiah. Here am I, Lord, send me. He knows what the potential is. That's not very prudent, Father Damian, go down there with all those lepers in human sight, but I got to do what I got to do because priests and bishops are supposed to emulate. But this is the convoluted, you know, sort of a blurring of the distinction between the lay faithful and their priesthood and the sacerdotal priesthood. Bishops and priests are not the same as everybody else. They are supposed to exemplify Christ in a whole lot better because they exemplify Christ better, then that means you will exemplify Christ better. They are an example. Father Damian, when he showed up on Molokai, you know, these people that are there are like, somebody's coming to help us that doesn't have leprosy, and it's a foreigner? You know, the government put them down there. They didn't have the resources to fend for them. They're living in shacks. And Father Damian gets off the boat, they all come around him, and he says, I want to be one who will be a father to you, and who loves you so much that he does not hesitate to become one of you, and to live and to die with you. He lived for years with them. And he was we got some other priests that will come down there. No, I'm good. He lived with these people. And when I say he lived with them, You ever see, if you've been there, or if you see videos of the luau's, got the big bowl of poi. How do you eat poi? Everybody sits around and they put their hand in there. Father Damien is sitting there with lepers who have lost fingers and have open wounds on their hand. They're dipping their hands in this, and he's eating out of the same bowl with them. This is how he lived his life. There were years when he didn't get it, that he eventually did. It is the late 19th century, so there were photographs that you can Google St. Damien of Molokai. Look at the handsome young priest that showed up there, and then look at him on his deathbed. And look at the horror that he endured. This is why he's known as the martyr of charity, because he proved his love for these people by his own life. The things that would be repugnant and disgusting to us, that are repugnant and disgusting to us, he lived it. You think he wanted to? You think the first time he dipped his hand and was like, oh my gosh. You think that he liked that? No. That he did what he needed to do to be a good father. You come in here and father is dressed like he's going to perform surgery or take an x-ray with all the stuff he's got on. You go, oh my gosh. What father? He get home from work. Hey, one of the kids has a fever. Oh, put your rubber gloves and your mask on and go talk to your kids. That would be despicable. Absolutely despicable. We come in our places where we call somebody father, and that's exactly what they do. We got to do a reality check. As I said, I was pointing fingers at priests and bishops. We also got to point fingers at ourselves, because most of us will not. Some of us, and it's not may, some of us will have to put ourselves in the position of our Lord. You're going to have a family member or a friend who has something, and they're dying, and any dying isn't pretty. Some is a lot worse than others. And I know a lot of Christians that, hey, are you going to go visit? So I just can't deal with that. That just overwhelms me. I just can't deal with that. That's not compassionate. You're thinking about yourself. How would you like to be the one who's laying there and nobody comes to visit you because it's so repugnant? You got to think of things like that. And if you're living this life that our Savior says that we're supposed to live, love one another as I have loved you, not how you figure you can love them. You got to demonstrate that love. Like I said, most of us won't be called to see something that's really, truly disgusting and have to touch. But the same thing does apply spiritually. Forgiveness. I just can't forgive that person. What they did was so disgusting, so repugnant. That's that whole analogy of leprosy and sin. You just can't forgive that person in words. You need to live like you're forgiving them. And whether it's figurative, and it should be literal, reach out and touch them. I don't understand how come it's so repugnant for Christians to touch someone in the compassion of Christ, but we got no problem whatsoever embracing repugnant sin. Pustulant, disgusting, rotten sin. We'll hang on to that all day long. That's a problem. We need to fix the problem. And the way we do that is exemplify our Lord Jesus Christ. He had compassion. Like I said before, he could have spoken, he could have willed, but he didn't. He spoke and willed and touched. We need to do the same thing. We need to prove that we live a life that our Savior demands of us. You should expect it from Father when you go into your house with the Lord. You should expect him to act and look like a father. But you also have to appreciate the fact that when you're confronted with something that you don't want to do, you think about these passages like this. This is why they should stand on our mind. Because when we do that, when we forgive something that is disgusting in our eyes that somebody's done to us, we need to refocus the attention and have compassion on one who is corrupted by sin. It's what our Lord Jesus Christ did for you. It's what he did for me. And he demands that we do it for others. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.